Well, amen. I am excited to continue our August series tonight. I love August for a lot of reasons. I love routine, and so it's nice to get back into a routine of things that usually comes in a household with kids that are in school. I love my kids, but I'm glad for them to go back and be on a school schedule too, and go to sleep at normal times and have things to do outside of me occupying them. So we're looking forward to getting back into the rhythm. That also means it's a little chaotic. August is also a great time because every year that we've been here, we've had new people move in. Atlanta's an area that's very transient. A lot of people come here for the job market, and so that makes sense. And also that means college students are back, and we love that. So it's a fun month, and I see some familiar faces back tonight that I'm excited to hang out with in the near future. So if you weren't here last week, I'll give a quick intro to what we're doing and make sure everybody's caught up. This month, we're doing a series we're calling Dream Disciple, and this is unpacking an idea we've been explaining a little bit for a while. What would be this picture of a mature follower of Jesus? What would a dream disciple in our church context look like? And that's what we're going to try to unpack for these 5 weeks, because there are five roles that a dream disciple assumes or you live into. So I really want to encourage you to listen to the sermons each week if you happen to be out or miss one along the way. This is something that will be pivotal content for our church and is foundational to a lot of things that we do in the future. We'll kind of point back to what we mean by these five roles. In fact, some of this exact terminology and questions we're using will be in what we call our core group guide. This is going to be content that's very important. So if you happen to miss or if you weren't here before, it's great to go back and check into. So dream disciple at City View is what a mature follower looks like in our context. In some cases, like we're going to continue to remind you, all disciples in all places and all times, they're going to have some similarities. But there's also going to be something unique about the time and space that God has called us to here. Something unique about our body and our gifting and even the people God's called us to serve. And so with those things in mind and kind of our heart for certain areas, we've developed our dream disciple. And it's actually an acronym that spells out the word Brave. So we'll walk through one role each week. Tonight we're going to focus on the responsive learner. You can go back and listen to last week's message about the broken ambassador, and I really would encourage you to come the next few weeks to hear the final three. And we love the acronym that it stands for because it takes bravery, it takes boldness and courage to follow Jesus, especially in an increasingly more difficult context like Atlanta. Persecution of the church in the U.S. is not all that common, but unfortunately it's becoming more common. And obviously we know that takes place around the world. When you live in a city that's increasingly more progressive, the ideas of the Bible are not going to be well received all the time. And so even from our kids, students, all the way up, we want to remind all of you, we're encouraging and challenging you to be brave in the way that you follow Jesus. So that's what we're focusing on in this series. Let me ask you a quick question. Unfortunately, I've learned this can be a bit divisive, and that this was just me not knowing because I'm not on the up and up, but thankfully so many of you are, and so you can bring me into this space. All right, you have to tell me. Some of you, if you don't know, then you're like void from this, and it means you're safe. Do you use Spotify or do you use Apple Music? Apparently, this is like a debate, and you might know something about someone based on if they use Spotify or use Apple Music. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we know another set of things about you. Okay, that's okay. That's what we're saying in the categories in the room. I personally am a Spotify guy. I don't even know that people use Apple. I don't care. That's great if you do. I am like the only thing musically I can do is play Spotify. So that's the best I got. So for me, I'm not even aware. There may be apps I don't even know about that you stream music on, and that's awesome. But for the purpose of this illustration, typically like your Apple Music, your Spotify, and I know because like when you share songs on social media, or if I ask, you know, if somebody shares a link, I'm like, I can't even open that link. I don't even know how to get there. So you're tracking with me. One thing that I like about Spotify that I don't know, it may be common in every single music app, but the one thing that I like about Spotify would be recommended songs or recommended artists. Because as you can see, I am not on the up and up. So there's going to be people you listen to that I would have no idea if you just mentioned a person or a band or a Greek word. Like, I'm not real sure what you're talking about. I'm pretty mainstream, pretty basic, as you might say. And I like when people are recommended in Spotify, similar artists. It's like, oh, you listen to these things, you may like this person. And that's a helpful way for me to find new music, which I don't always do super well. A couple weeks ago, our family did our last summer trip. We went to Chicago and we had a blast. We did not know necessarily everything that was going to be going on in the city while we were there. A lot of really exciting things happened in Chicago during our time there. One of those, our hotel was directly across from one of the world's largest music festivals that happens every year that I was unaware of. It's called Lollapalooza, and it brought 40,000 people outside my hotel window. And we literally were like, well, this is great. We're looking over the lake. This park is here. Well, toward the end of the week, that park transformed into this large music festival. We were literally looking over the main stages. So a lot of people probably wanted that room. We were not necessarily the ones that wanted it for that reason. My kids learned a lot that week. It's a good moment of discipleship as we're driving, and everyone has to look straight forward, and we explain that later, why you can't look out the window. But we're looking at this music festival, and we found that all this stuff's happening. And my wife, oh, this is cool. Let's see if we know anybody. There's like, you know, dozens of artists. We probably knew three of them, okay? And I'm okay to admit that. I'm totally secure in, you know, my musical identity. And we knew that there were a lot of people that are probably awesome. We saw posts later of, like, just swarms of people. Like, I know how to say these artists' names now, but at the time, I didn't even know who they were. And they're bringing, like, the largest crowds, like, from around the world. It's kind of crazy. So for me, the only way I'm going to find artists like that, and some of you, we know, okay, because you're going to tell us, but you are going to be, your music is so niche, you know, like I would never know. Like if somebody knows this person now, you're like, can't list them anymore. You know, three people know about them, so they're off my playlist. You've got to be the one to discover. That was like these people happening here. But I have found when you find, okay, this person has this great music. It was influenced by this person who was influenced by this person. If you go back to the sources and eventually you're like, you can find like this unique band that you may enjoy when you track down almost like their disciples. You can see this idea the same way you follow like through art. So some of you, that's the way that you get to great music, great artists, or you learn, you know, if I enjoy this person, I'll find this person. It's the same way, like, artistically throughout. If you ever studied art history, which I did in my freshman year of college in the required course I had to take, but in art history, and you have to this person influenced this pattern and this genre and this year, and so you can kind of trace it back and see, oh, there's some similarities that appear in these different time frames. Obviously, it happens in philosophy all through time. You can understand where maybe a stream of thought came through. In all of those spaces, creatives, obviously, are going to take something and probably make it better or different in their own. But if you really are familiar with an idea, maybe with a thought, music, and a type of art, you can kind of trace its origin and see its influences. And you can say, like, some of you could listen to an artist, and you can say, oh, I bet they're influenced by such and such, and go back and trace it and understand because you know them both so well. You could probably do that with art, philosophy, many of you. I could do that with what some call a coaching tree. And I could tell you, like, based on some schemes they run, that they might have been influenced by a certain someone. But you can trace all this the way through in pretty much every area of life because you see, like, discipleship is a part of all that we do. So what we want you to see in this series, and especially tonight, is how if you've been influenced by someone, it will come out in your life. And we could kind of trace back and see, oh, they've been influenced by this person or this idea, this type of work, this type of background or context, and that has made you who you are today. A little more serious than music and art and those things that are influential in life, but I want us to think about on the deepest level as we consider, what does it mean for us then as we're influenced, hopefully, by the Word of God? What does it mean for us to be influenced and shaped by the Word of God? If a disciple is a follower, do we really look like followers of Jesus? Because the reality is we're all being discipled by something or someone. And we all look like what we are allowing to influence us. So, again, to take the illustration to the max, some of you disguise it well and you would surprise us. Like it'd be a fun game if you're doing an icebreaker in your small group. Based on my personality, maybe even how I'm dressed tonight, what type of music do you think I would listen to? It's a fun game to play, okay? Some of you, like, you would surprise us. And you're like, I had no idea. That's so interesting. You know, you're so multifaceted as an individual. And some of you, like, would nail it on the head. In the same way, we want to make sure that the way we're living, people could press down and say, I can tell you've been influenced by Jesus. Or this teaching, this word has formed you into who you are today. So tonight we're going to talk about the R in the BRAVE acronym. and that is the responsive learner. So the title of these messages are going to be pretty straightforward throughout this series. So the responsive learner. We're going to be in the book of James tonight. We're going to start in James chapter 1. And really this idea of being hearers and doers of the word, and hopefully see that influence in us. Hearers and doers as responsive learners in James chapter 1. I'm going to read it in just a moment. We're going to look at verses 19 through 25. And after I read, we're going to go ahead and pray. All right, so James chapter 1, verse 19. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for this idea of discipleship we've been talking about and how obvious it is when you look throughout history. The way people think, the way people create, the way people work influences others, influences in some case generations. And I pray that we're a people who can reflect the influence that Christ has had on us. Help us to think about the way we absorb and are formed by your word and therefore live it out. I pray that your word would come to life and you give us clarity tonight. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we think about each week how we can grow into these roles, we're going to give you steps or questions or ideas that help you form to become the roles that we're talking about. So tonight we're going to discuss what it means to be obedient to the teachings of Jesus. So I'm going to give you two steps to grow into a responsive learner. Two steps that will help you. If you follow these steps, you will become a more responsive learner of the Word of God. The first step I want you to see in verses 19 through 21. In these verses, you're going to see the first thing we have to do is receive the Word of God. And I'll explain what we mean by the word receive. If you go back to the verses that we were just reading, James is writing and he says, again, "My dear brothers and sisters, you have to understand this." And he's given kind of a charge, which is easy to hear but hard to do. What should you do? He says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So what he's reminding them is a posture. He's arguing for a shift from speaking to listening. He's arguing from a shift from anger, from sinfulness, from man's way to accomplish something to righteousness, to God's way to accomplish something. Notice a shift in heart, a shift. I would say really he's painting a shift in posture. So even just think posture as it relates to speaking or conversation, the posture you may have even in the room. Some of you have the posture of listeners, and I can just tell this person is absorbing. They're like locked in. They're hearing this. Now, some of you have the posture of sleepers, and it's really encouraging to a pastor to see that man, this is just getting so ingrained. Maybe just that you're deep in prayer with the Lord and you're taking this in. But you understand when you're in conversation, not even just when you're sitting in a room, but even when you're in conversation with people, you can understand their posture. Is they're engaged in the conversation, there's a part of a group or one-on-one, and they're locked into what's happening, or maybe they're absent-minded. You know if they're somewhere else, or if they're preoccupied by their phone, or if they just got some important information. You can kind of tell someone's posture. Are they engaged? Are they leaned in? Are they receiving this? Or is their posture like, I can't wait for you to stop talking because I'm going to jump in. Like, I'm ready to speak. Is it an aggressive posture? So he's painting a picture that shifts, though. From one that's ready to speak, act, to figure out in man's way how to get something done, to a posture of receiving, of listening, posture of humility. And think about a few different scenarios where maybe in this type of picture we're painting, it might be an area of conflict, or if you're in an argument, or it might just be a little bit more of a heated conversation. Sometimes you might go in guarded to that, if you know that conflict is there, or if somebody surprised you with it. You're going to be a little more guarded. You might be ready to make your point. You might just be waiting, like I was saying, for the other person to stop because you can't wait to let them know what you think. In fact, you don't care what they have to say. You're just ready to be heard. And that's a different posture. Like, I'm ready to be heard versus I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to receive. The opposite of this, you know, posture of like, I'm guarded, I'm ready, like I'm going to defend or whatever, is one who I'm calm, I'm open, I'm receptive. And you can think about that in a work environment, in a personal conversation, in so many ways, like someone who's just, even if it's tense, it can be diffusing when someone says, no, I want to hear what you have to say, and I'm asking follow-up questions, and and why do you feel that way? And that's a totally different posture. That's someone who's ready to receive, and they may have things to say later, but they're receiving, they're actually hearing what you're saying. Maybe you've seen this with a husband and wife, or sometimes even a parent-child, where the person speaking can tell that you're hearing what you're saying, but you're not really listening. You're not really receiving it. Like, there's many times, especially with our kids, if we're not careful, it's like they know, like, hey, you're not even looking at me, you know. It's like the 13th time today you've probably said, hey, Dad, watch this. But they're going to know you're not watching, right? Or did you hear me? And it's like, oh, yeah. You know, you hear what they said. Yeah, that's cool, buddy. You know, and if you're not careful, they know that's not a posture of receiving and listening, absorbing what they're sharing. And that's probably, you can think of people in your life who always have that posture and how frustrating that can be when you're trying to communicate or share or connect with someone and they never give you their full attention. It's just not a fun place. Or maybe they look over you. It's just no one enjoys being in conversation. You probably don't feel connected to people like that. That's so often how we approach the Word of God. Whether it's in our own Bible reading, maybe like on your own, in what some might call your quiet time, doing devotion. Maybe it's in a setting like this where you're listening to preaching. Or maybe it's even in like a small group environment, like for us, a city group or even a core group, where the Word of God's being discussed. If we're not careful, we have so much to say to God that we go with a posture of aggression. We're not slow to speak. Like, we're quick to speak. We're ready to say or hear or get God to act, and we don't go to the Lord with a posture of receiving. I think it's what James is really trying to paint for us here. So he's not just saying, hear the word of God. He's not just saying, I mean, I'm so glad when people show up even though your life is in shambles. Like, we want you here. But sometimes it's hard for you because you're distracted. There's so many other things on your mind. And so even though you're here, you're not still quite ready to receive the word. That's what we're saying. James is saying, no, you didn't just hear the word. Like, I'm glad you listened to that sermon or you were in that group and you showed up and it was tough. But did you really receive the word? This the posture that he's painting for us here. I'm trying to get you to lean into it. A follower of Jesus must take an intentional posture of listening or receiving the word of God. Some of you, it becomes habit in a good way, but if not, we have to learn whatever that is for us to kind of flip a switch, to turn on the posture of receiving. I'm gonna come in, and we try to do that even as we call into worship, or we step in even to our musical worship. It's like, okay, Lord, speak. Here I am. Speak. Lord, let me hear. Let me focus. We're trying to, at that point, tune our hearts in to receive the word of God. And followers of Jesus know how to do this well, because responsive learners are humble and teachable. We don't come in thinking we have everything figured out. We're not ready just to say everything. We're ready just to listen, to receive. We're humble and teachable. I saw a quote recently, and I can't remember who said it. It's not maybe completely accurate, but track with me. If you believe everything you did 20 years ago, then you're probably too stubborn and unteachable. But if you don't believe anything you did 20 years ago, then you're probably unstable. And it's thinking about, where do we stand with truth on that ground? Now, don't track with me completely. Like, some of you, like, if you didn't know the Lord and now you know the Lord, you know, I wouldn't call you unstable. I would call you saved. But if we're talking about walking in, like, our understanding, or maybe we're already as a believer, like, do we take this approach where it's like, I'm good. I know everything I need to know now for the rest of my life. 20 years from now, I hope that I've been shifted and kind of formed and understand, maybe deepening my understanding of the Word of God. So I'll read that again. If you believe everything you did 20 years ago, then you're probably stubborn and unteachable because you haven't learned anything new or realize maybe you've been wrong in a position. But if you don't believe anything you did 20 years ago, you might be unstable because you're not understanding the truth and the solidifying the word of God as a foundation for your life. So we want to hold those things in tension. What's concrete from the word and how we can be receptive to learn more. So I just, after painting that picture, want to ask you, how would you describe your current heart posture? Just think about that for a moment. How would you describe your current heart posture? Stubborn? I'm a know-it-all, or I'm solid, I'm good, headstrong, you might say. Maybe stubborn is a fleshly way to think about it. Unstable, like wishy-washy, I'm just so unsure of the truth or my faith, I don't know. Or would you describe yourself as teachable? I have a teachable posture. I have a heart that's warm to hear the word of God, and I'm receptive to the word shaping me. I'm receiving God's word. Spurgeon was a famous preacher. He said this, "The first thing we must do then is to receive." And the word receive is a very instructive gospel word. It is the door through which God's grace enters to us. We're not saved by working, but by receiving. Not by what we give to God, but by what God gives to us and we receive from him. In John 1, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God, the living Word, is Jesus himself. So this Word became flesh. We receive the living Word in Christ for salvation, and we continue to receive his Word as we grow in Christ. Let's look back to James. In verse 21, it says, "Therefore," so what do? We're not quick to speak. Like we are receiving, our posture has changed, we are hearing the word of God. "Therefore, we rid ourselves of moral filth and evil that's so prevalent. And what do? By humbly receiving the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So our posture shifts when we come to Christ from one who's always speaking to one who's receiving. And that shift takes place in conversion. I've now received the word of God. It has changed me. It saved my soul. And the word is implanted. It says that even in the scripture, that God will hide his word in our hearts. And that is what we do when you come to Jesus. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you're a responsive learner, that word is hidden in your heart. And I love how one pastor talked about how he learned to memorize scripture so much that he had actually hidden it in his heart so well he couldn't find it. And so the point, though, is like some of you, I think about in my core group and the scripture memory we've done over the past year, and it's like we hid that really well. That is hidden so well, only God knows where it is in my heart. But the goal for us, though, is to have that word so implanted in us that if we were just to pull everything away, we're going to add the foundation is God's word and shape. That's what it means to be a responsive learner, to receive. The first thing you got to do is receive the word, the living word, coming to Christ. So I receive the word for salvation of my soul, and I continually receive the word as it shapes me into who I am today. So as we think about these verses and how we can make this heart posture shift to actually receiving the word, the diagnostic question, which is something we'll do in all of our roles of discipleship, just to think about what does it mean to be a dream disciple, ask some questions to think if we're assessing ourselves or doing this well. The diagnostic question for you to think about as far as receiving the word would be this: what is something new or challenging you've learned from the word of God recently? Just a way to ask myself or others in a small group environment to say, well, share something you've learned recently. That could be through your hear journals that we do as in our weekly Bible plan, or something where just the Spirit of God through a sermon or another setting has spoken to you and maybe brought a truth to life for you. Just a way to constantly be thinking, what's something new or challenging you've learned from the Word of God recently? I'm kind of asking myself this: am I regularly receiving the Word of God? For some of you, we know you're doing that because you're newer to the faith, or you're kind of on fire in a new way and you're growing in the Lord. Some of us that have been walking with Jesus for a long time, if we're not careful, praise God that that word of God is so implanted in my heart. Praise God that I have years and decades of a foundation of the word that's made me who I am today. But if I'm not careful, I can just bank on that foundation and never add to it. And so the challenge to some of you who have been walking with Jesus for a longer time is, yes, praise the Lord that you've got a foundation that's been there, but don't be settled with that. Continue to regularly receive the word of God, never thinking that we've arrived. That's what we talk about as a dream disciple. We'll never fully attain these roles this side of heaven, so we're always pursuing this growth, receiving this implanted word because it saves our souls. However, we don't stop there. Once we've received the word of God, we must obey the word of God. There's always action, or maybe application is the way you think about it, involved. And so the second step, once you receive the word, is to obey the word of God. Let's look at verses 22 through 25. So now my posture has shifted. My heart's received the word of God. I'm growing in Christ, but I'm not just growing in knowledge. I'm growing in obedience. Verse 22, it says to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Why? Because if you just hear the word and you're not a doer, you're like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. And so you see here what I would call the battle of deception is always present for the follower of Jesus. We're always battling deceit. And that's what happens when we just hear the word and we don't do it. We deceive ourselves. I think the enemy has been trying to deceive us from the garden. It's how he tempted Adam and Eve. He deceived them into taking a step of disobedience. And that's something that our flesh fights against. So we fight the enemy through deception, and our flesh is deceptive. Because the Bible says that our hearts are deceptive, and you can't trust them. Above all else, the worst advice you could ever get is follow your heart. No, here's the best advice. Don't trust your heart. Trust the word of God. Remind yourself the truth of the scripture. And so what we're doing is we're always going back to this, not just hearing, but doing. We're not just receiving, but we're applying. And when we apply, that's how we fight the battle of deception. But if we just hear and we don't respond, that's how we puff ourselves up and thinking we're maybe further along than we really are. I saw one pastor put it like this: to take comfort in the fact that you've heard God's word when you haven't done it is to deceive yourself. Can you be comforted by the word? Absolutely. But the greatest comfort comes when you apply the word. And so if you just comfort yourself by thinking like, man, that sermon was great, or we had an awesome small group or whatever, like, praise God, but you go unchanged and you go and you never apply that word, then we're deceptive. Now we've deceived ourselves unintentionally. But we've deceived ourselves in thinking we've taken a step or we're further than we really are. We actually haven't applied what we learned. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians confuse knowledge with maturity. I'm going to say that again. A lot of Christians confuse knowledge with maturity. Now, are those things connected? Yes. Mature Christians have knowledge of the Word of God. But it's not just knowledge that equals maturity. It's obedience to what you know. And that's the difference. That's why so many people think the answer to every problem is another Bible study. And like, I'm not opposed to Bible study. Love studying the Word of God. But if we haven't put into practice what we already know, then what good is another study? And so for some of those saints who want to continue to study the Word of God, I'm like, praise the Lord, but let's make sure we're also obeying the Word of God. If we're not careful, we'll have 6 Bible studies and never share the gospel. Or we'll spend a lot of time absorbing and sitting under the Word of God, but never doing or living out or practicing the Word of God. For us, it's not an either or, it's a both and. How do I receive the word, sit under the word, and then obey the word? And when we say a responsive learner, that's what we're talking about. It's a twofold. You receive and you obey. This is one of the primary reasons why at City Group we have core groups, and we include application-oriented discussion in our City Groups. So every City Group, there is a moment during and then at the end where there's some kind of a focus on application. How can you apply this to your life? And we're going to check in later. How did that conversation go? What was that like? How did you live out this last message? In our core groups, some of the questions I've mentioned here and other places, we can kind of press in and say, how well are you doing in this area? We think that discipleship and accountability go hand in hand. And a responsive learner is somebody who's going to embrace that. If you're a know-it-all, you're not going to like accountability. If you have a heart posture of one who speaks and not one who receives, you're not going to like questions because you're going to feel questioned. But the posture of somebody who's walking with Jesus is saying, you can always question me because I know I'm not perfect and I want you to check in on me. That's what we're talking about here, this application-oriented, accountable to being obedient to the Word of God. That's what we're trying to grow in. Because what I believe is when we see people living this out and we're practicing accountability, and some of you have experienced that, groups specifically is one of the best ways that we have to combat the deception that we struggle with. We all struggle with deception, especially it's isolated one-on-one. When you insert yourself into Christian biblical community is one of the best ways to combat deception. Because now that group, those people, even when they don't realize it, they're bringing me back into reality. And they're painting a picture for me that says, this is what you say you believe, but this is how you live. Let's close the gap. And that's what our groups exist to help us do, combat deception. And I think this passage actually contains one of the best illustrations in the Bible around this idea. Let's look at what it says again. So if you're not a hearer and a doer, if you just hear the word and move on, it's like someone in verse 24. You go look at yourself in the mirror, and then you go away and you forget. You forget what kind of person you were. Like, that doesn't sound real good. So look at verse 23. You look at your own face in a mirror, then you look at yourself, you observe, and you go away and you forget what kind of person you are. Try to take a moment to think about what's happening. The picture that they're painting here. And the word choice kind of means to observe with like scrutiny, or to like it doesn't just mean like So for picturing me walking by a mirror, it's not just like you walk by and glanced in a mirror and moved on. The wording here, the illustration that author James is trying to bring about is like you took this mirror and with scrutiny, like you really studied and you understand, like, so that means every blemish, like every spot, they understood like every hair that's out of place. You took some time and you really saw everything here and just left and never moved a hair, never wiped your face. I mean, it's like, dude, it's like, right. I mean, just right there. Can you get it? Can you get it? Sometimes you have like that friend. I'm like, you still didn't get it. Can I just get it for you? That's a good friend or a weird friend. Fine line there. That's what we're seeing here. Be honest with you, that fine line is what's weird about Christian accountability in small groups. So some of you love it and some of you aren't sure yet, but hey, it's worth it, okay? Get through the weird, it'll get there. That's the idea of what's happening. We're going through the scrutiny, we're looking in, and so what James is saying, that's like somebody who's taken the word of God and they have studied it and they have diced it and they understand it and they can give you original meaning and they can give you some ideas and they can tie some cross references and they just, man, they get it and they do this and they walk away unchanged. He's saying it's the same exact thing. You have placed this under scrutiny and to the point where like you didn't miss it. You didn't just glance, you have studied, but you left unchanged. And how silly would it be if you're about to go into an interview and he's like, all right, let me go by the restroom one more time, wash my hands, go in fresh. And there's like some huge piece of lettuce in the middle of your teeth, something on your face, and you left it and you went to the interview. That would be weird, guys. Okay, we wouldn't want to do that. Right? So he's saying all the time, as followers of Jesus, that's what we do. We deceive ourselves because we see what should be changed and we just leave it alone and we just move on. And obviously his encouragement is not to live that way. And the deception for us is to think that just because you've looked means you've done something. You would obviously know that if you looked in the mirror and didn't fix your face and moved on, that you didn't do anything. But for whatever reason, spiritually, when we look at the Bible and move on, we think looking equals doing. And that's not exactly what the Bible is teaching. So let me ask you as you're thinking about this, do you think that you're currently living in reality or are you living deceived? Are you living in reality of, yes, I understand where I'm living and where it matches up and needs to grow in what the Word of God teaches? Or are you living in deception because you've confused with your knowledge of your Word of God to your obedience to it? Just because you know what the Bible says doesn't mean that you're doing it. And in fact, a lot of people would say that's the basis of cultural Christianity. There are a lot of people who know about Jesus or know the teaching of the word. And if we were to have like just a written test, they would get it right. But their life speaks a different message. And at the end of the day, what's going to get you into heaven is placing your faith in Jesus and his righteousness being on your account. And then the things that you did, not just knowing that Jesus did that on the cross, but is my faith actually in what Jesus did on the cross, not just knowing about God. This is an important teaching. Look at verse 25, though, the contrast. So again, we actually have taken accountability, and now we're doers of the word, and we're doing both, and we receive and we obey. So then the contrast, but the one who does look intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works. And what happens? This person will be blessed in what he does. Amen. The power of obedience is blessing. Now, you don't obey to be blessed, we understand, but the power of obedience is blessing. Many of you are testament to that. You are just trying to pursue the Lord, and he blessed your socks off. And you were like, amen, I'll receive that. I can think of so many of you, the job has opened, the person has come into your life, this issue was resolved, this leadership opportunity stepped up. All these things come together. And it wasn't like, okay, God, I've been obeying. Where is he? Some of you have been praying like, I know he's out there. He's having a hard time finding me, God, but you are the author of it all. We understand, right, that some of you feel that way. You don't obey just so you get the spouse or the house or the job or the degree or whatever it is you're pursuing. But you've seen the Lord resolve so many things in your life just through simple obedience, because blessing follows obedience. And that's not prosperity. That's just what the Bible teaches. That also can mean hardship can come with being obedient too. It doesn't mean that you're going to obey and then tomorrow everything's resolved. But blessing, and sometimes it's just spiritual. It's not necessarily physical blessing, but they go hand in hand. And you can understand, you all know the peace that you have internally when you've been walking in obedience versus walking in disobedience. There is nothing like the turmoil that exists in the heart of a follower of Jesus when you know you're living in sin. It is the most frustrating place to be, to understand that there's a pattern, a relationship, something that is just not right, and it's keeping you from being fully one with Christ and living out your salvation as you should. And there's also nothing as sweet as the peace of knowing you've walked in obedience, even if there is hardship in life. And that's the blessing of the oneness with God we experience. I think Jesus also explains this dichotomy when he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears the words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed." It collapsed with a great crash. So again, Jesus gives us the two options here. You can be wise and obey the word of God and find security in his protection, or you can be unwise and your life will come crashing down. If we think about in the context of James, we have two options. You can live a life of being deceived. You can live a deceptive life of disobedience, or you can live a life of obedience and find blessing. Like, it's pretty simple when you boil it down to that, but again, it's hard to do. I think that's why we are intended to walk in obedience as a community. So even as you think about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, let me ask this question. Which foundation would you say you've built your life upon? Will your life sustain storms, or will it come crashing down? Is your life built on the foundation of obedience to the word of God? Because I've received the word, I know the word, and I live the word. Therefore, no matter what happens in life, I've got the foundation that comes with walking with Jesus. Or will the hardships of life bring your house crashing down because it's not built on the foundation? That means that the mature believer who's a responsive learner, who's growing, can face some of life's hardest problems, but be unshaken because their foundation is the Lord. And those are the kind of people we're trying to build at City View. People who have the foundation of God and his word. And so as you think about it, diagnostic question asked earlier, was it, did I receive the word and now am I obeying the word? A diagnostic question to think about how well we're doing this. Have you responded in obedience to the Holy Spirit recently? Again, if you're sitting around in a small group and you're asking that question, what a great way to think about it. How have you responded in obedience to the Holy Spirit recently? That could be obedience to something that was revealed in the Word that became clear and now you applied. It could be you're walking in the Spirit and he kind of encourages you to go and have a conversation with someone or to get out of a situation or like, I am walking in tune in obedience to the Spirit. How have you responded in obedience to the Holy Spirit recently? As we are trying to apply this passage and develop responsive learners at City View, one of the things we want to develop is people, when they follow Jesus, that know how to see a need and meet a need. Again, we talked a little bit last week. You have gospel eyes. You see the world differently as a follower of Jesus. And it takes someone who is brave to notice something that's not right, but yet do something about it. And the best illustration I can give is like when you're driving here, and I'm not recommending you do this, but if there's like a crash on the interstate, most of us are just going to ignore it. And I'm not saying you need to pull over. Please don't necessarily. Some of you do that. But it's easy for us just to do that. Now, some of you, if you're a trained or a first responder or whatever, like you might pull over and actually help. But a lot of us just ignore it. Like we want to get as far away from that as possible. And if we're not careful, that's probably safe for many of you, okay? Especially ladies, I'm not recommending you like pull over and help someone with a flat on 285 on the way home, okay? But a lot of us, we see those kind of situations in life and maybe in a smaller setting, and we want to avoid those as much as possible. We want to act like we didn't see the need. Or we're so self-absorbed, we don't really see the need. Some of you drive that way and it's scary and everybody's like, oh man, did you guys see that wreck on the way here? And you're like, what wreck? I'm like more concerned you weren't a part of it. Like, how did you not see that the half the interstate was like blocked off, you know? I'm seriously concerned and praying for you. But some of us live that way. It's like we're just in our own world. But then also not just learning to see, but then to meet, to act. Again, it's like receiving, obeying the word. What will I do to act? Oh, you know, hey, they had surgery. Let's take them a meal. Or, hey, they've got this thing going on. Go cut their grass. Or take them to coffee. Or help them out with their car, like whatever it is, to respond to the needs as they arise. So in doing so, we want to help you do that in the lives of others. And we also want you to do that as it relates to the way the Word of God kind of is brought up in your heart and your life. This is a terminology Seth and I use. We want to develop self-feeders. We want to develop people who can go and feed themselves the meat of God's Word on your own, because you do know how to study the Bible. You know how to get into the Word. You know how to understand it, and you know how to apply it. So we want people who can handle the Word on their own and apply it in their lives. That's what a self-feeder is. Like, you go eat it up. We're going to do our best to serve you steak every week. Sometimes it's just vegetables. Sometimes it's just grilled chicken. But we're going to do our best every week to serve you up the Word of God. But we want to do that and model it in such a way and encourage through our groups and everything that we do that you can do the same each day on your own. And you become a self-feeder who doesn't just eat up the Word, but you obey the Word. So that means that you respond to God's leading based on His Word and as He leads in the lives of others. So we're talking about responsive learners. I don't want people who are just responsive to the Word. We want people who are responsive to needs. And that's what we're trying to develop. People who can receive and obey God's Word and then respond to the needs as they see, as the Spirit is leading them. Because when you become a more Spirit-led follower through the Word, it's going to overflow into your everyday life. And so here's the main idea I want you to think as you kind of understand what a responsive learner might be. Is maturing followers of Jesus live Spirit-led lives responding in obedience to God's Word. I think that just kind of summarizes what we're trying to help people become. Maturing followers of Jesus live Spirit-led lives responding in obedience to God's Word. And so I walk under the power of the Spirit. I walk in the power of the Spirit, submitting to the Word of God and to His leading in my life. Imagine if we had a church full of people who could handle the Word of God, applied in their lives, lived under the power of the Spirit, and responded as He led. That's the picture we're trying to paint. That would be a dream disciple. And so maybe let me just ask you now, as you think about these two very simple challenges, two very simple steps, let me ask you, how might God be leading you now? If we want to become more Spirit-led, is there a sense even in this moment, through this sermon or a specific verse where you were kind of impressed in a certain direction? Let's work on being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And then let's encourage each other to respond when He prompts us. Have that conversation. Share the gospel. Take that leap of faith. Step into whatever it may be. Maybe as you're being sensitive to the Spirit tonight and thinking about some things that might prevent you from not just receiving but obeying the Word, maybe it's a confession of sin. And again, we would love to do that in small groups of accountability. Not asking you to come down here and share. I'm not asking even as a pastor to view me as the Pope or for you to have to come and speak or share just to me. When we build accountability into our lives, you know where to go. So hopefully many of you already have that. But maybe it's just going to those people and sharing something that you're working through. Maybe it's someone you need to reach out to. Just even right now, the Holy Spirit maybe just be impressed on your heart. Ask that person lunch. Have that conversation. Make that phone call. Or maybe there's a need that you can meet. Like something has been brought to your attention. Like, I think I could help out in that way. That could be something financial, or just doing something physically, even just being there emotionally for someone. Is there a need you can meet? And then I just want you to reflect for a moment. If you think about what it means to be a disciple and a follower, and you think about artists and musicians and so many people where influences in their life have comes out in their work, based on how you live, who would people say are your influences? Based just on if they just examined, you know, a week or two in your life, who would people say have influenced you? Because the words you use, the phrases, the things that just come out, would people eventually be able to like point back to say that maybe they wouldn't have the language, but like that person's been influenced by the Word of God, or that person's clearly a follower of Jesus? Because if we're responsive learners, if we're brave disciples, that's going to be evident. Would people know that you're a disciple of Jesus just based on your actions? That's the goal. So Abby's going to continue to play, and I just kind of want us to have a little more time of reflection than usual. And just ask you to be honest with the Lord. Tonight's message is not complicated in the sense of how to understand it, but sometimes it can be more challenging to obey and to apply. And so we're just going to give you a few moments before we sing to maybe process. Lord, is there something I haven't quite fully received? Some of you still haven't received the Word. You know about the Word of God, but you haven't received the Word to save your souls. And then some of you have received the Word, but maybe there's a certain area, maybe in entirety or maybe just in certain areas, you haven't obeyed the Word yet. And if you're real honest with the Lord and you just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's an area where you need to grow in obedience or if there's an area that you need to bring into repentance or confession, He'll usually bring it to your heart pretty quickly. And so we're just going to ask you to do that. I'm going to pray. We're going to give you some time. And then after a few moments, Abby will lead us in worship. Father, we thank you for the Word. It's not complicated, but to understand, but sometimes it's harder to do. I ask you to help us to be sensitive to your Spirit even now in this time. Just to take some moments to reflect, to process, and just ask, Lord, is there something where we're not walking in obedience? Lord, help us to see it. If there's someone here who thinks they've received the word but never really had, I pray that you'd open their eyes now to understand what it truly means to receive the word. Lord, I pray that all of us would learn even in this moment to adopt a posture of receiving, a posture of listening so that we can hear from you. Lord, we want to hear you speak, so please now do that. Speak into our lives. And Lord, give us a posture of obedience. Give us the courage we need to obey. Holy Spirit, would you just press on all of our hearts now in this time we have together? And we pray all that in Jesus' name.